Another thing I'm curious about, at least I don't know if it really makes any difference anymore because of the tolerability, safety of this strategy and the efficacy. But prior to this, there were these systems out there. I think one was called RCB, residual disease systems, to try to predict. I'm curious how that sort of played out in the trial, particularly in the control group. And I'm guessing that even in the lowest amount of residual disease, there was still significant absolute benefit.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that was such a given. I mean, I think you could have, you know, intuitively you could make the argument that, you know, patients, we do know, as you suggested, that if you look at how much cancer someone has after neoadjuvant therapy, which can be quantified in a very standardized way using this residual cancer burden algorithm from MD Anderson and Fraser-Simmons, you know, that the amount of residual disease is quite prognostic. And so you could imagine that if you looked at patients with very small amounts of residual cancer, that the benefits of something like T-DM1 would be minuscule. But in the data from Catherine, that doesn't seem to be the case, that the relative benefit of T-DM1 over trastuzumab was very similar regardless of how much cancer was left. And even if you look specifically at the patients who only had less than a centimeter of cancer and no negative disease at time of surgery, the hazard ratio was still quite good. I think it was 0.6, and that translated to an absolute benefit of 5%. So it really does seem like, at least the data we have at this point, that basically any amount of residual invasive cancer, I'm not talking about residual DCIS, but residual invasive cancer, I think you should think strongly about using T-DM1 in that situation.
I'm really glad because I never really understood that RCB system and sounds like it's maybe not going to be as relevant anymore. Or at least it was kind of hard to figure out for me anyhow.
Well, it's hard. I mean, the mathematical equation is actually very complicated. Fortunately, they've put a website that does the calculation for you. You just plug in the pathologic data. So, I mean, I think there is still a lot of interest in using RCB, and in other cancer situations, it can be very helpful. But I think for HER2 positive post-neoadjuvant, you're right. The Catherine data kind of says that, you know, it's more of a dichotomous situation. You either have invasive cancer residually or you don't. And if you do, then it doesn't really matter how much.
That's interesting. I never thought about it, but do they break that down based on ER-HER2 subtype, like triple negative versus HER2, or is it just one number?
So the RCB is independent of receptor status. But just to be clear, you know, having an RCB of, you know, 2.1 is associated with different prognosis, whether you are ER negative, ER positive, or triple negative.
Yeah, you would certainly expect that.